You're listening to the Asbury Reader audio commentary with Reverend J.D. Walt interviewing Dr. Ellsworth Callis, as Dr. Callis gives us insight into Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
So, thinking more on this, I heard you once talk in a sermon about if you can see it, you can be it.
Yeah.
And it's like in the sermon, Jesus is, he's not giving a new law, he's painting a portrait of the new person, the new creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you preach this in a way that doesn't just either shame people or heap more burden of failure on them? Because that's why people steer away from it.
You're right. You're quite right. Or, and I'll put another phrase in here, preach it in a way that it becomes lost in inconsequentials. Mm-hmm. I grew up with the kind of holiness that a number of people in my generation did, that was measured in some easily attainable goals. If you didn't use playing cards in your house, and of course did not have tobacco or alcohol, and did not then go to movies, you were on the way. And we were known by what we didn't do. And of course, Jesus' way of holiness is primarily what we do do. The don'ts are too easily accomplished if we put them down at such a level that, as some old evangelist said in my youth, any telephone pole could see that they aren't doing any of those things. But to do things, that's something else again. But, yes, you don't want to make this being perfect a collection of laws. Partly because that does bring self-condemnation, and partly because the natural inclination then is to make those laws manageable, which then makes for self-righteousness. So you go either to the extreme of self-condemnation or of self-righteousness, and they're both bad news because they both have to do with self.
I know it, and it. You know, he's working through in chapter 5 so many, as you say. That's what I think gets lost, is that it's deemed unattainable, it's deemed idealistic, it's deemed pie in the sky.
Yeah.
And therefore, we miss the amazing practicalities of anger and
yeah.
lust. And relationships. If yeah. your brother or sister has something against you, you know,
yeah.
if you're offering your gift at the altar, be reconciled to them. I mean, who doesn't need to wrestle with that? Who isn't wrestling with that?
Yeah, boy, this is really true.
This whole issue of vengeance. I mean, you think about right now all the thing with Osama bin Laden and,
yeah.
I mean, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And that's yeah. where we're coming down, even
sure it
as
is.
The people of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, this will really get you thrown out of the church. if you talk about loving that enemy.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But this is what Jesus is
what he's Jesus
talking about
is saying,
Rome,
though.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Yeah.
That's yeah. pretty present day.
Yeah, that sure is. And I can well hear someone saying, and they're right, this man has done things that give you a right to hate him. And that's true. All the more because there was no repentance, obviously, with him. He boasted of what he had done. So that makes him loathsome to us. I guess a proper saintly response is to say of such a person, They already hate themselves enough. They don't need anybody else to hate them because they've got it all out of shape, their attitude toward life. This matter of not responding with hate, it is by being utterly unselfish, it's the most self-rewarding way we can follow, because we don't waste our energy then on venom. I think the venom we get in our soul is its own kind of poison. It's toxic. Yeah, it's toxic. And I remember a day in my first parish, as in many of those little towns in another day, the churches often had a cemetery out in the country and so forth. And I didn't know until I'd been pastor of this church for a while that we had inherited, so to speak, a cemetery from a little country church that had closed. And there came to be controversy over it, of course. And a man made an appointment with me one night to see me. And he got there on time, and he didn't tell me until he got there that he'd invite another man to come too from the church because he wanted to confront this other man in my presence. And this other man was a gracious, good, and godly man. And after about 15 or 20 minutes of attacks by the man who had set up the gathering, the meeting of the three of us, this other man who had been invited, without my knowing is going to be there, he said simply, I have to leave. He said, I have a heart condition, and I can feel my ticker beginning to go too fast. He said, I want to go out of here before I kill myself. And he did, and he was wise. This stuff that we take into our system all the time, as you say, toxic is the right word for it. I don't think we have any idea the degree to which it messes up our health, the whole system.
Well, in this issue, Jesus will turn in chapter 6 to prayer.
Yeah.
And the Lord's Prayer, specifically. Yeah. And then that little tag on at the end of it, if you do not forgive.
Yeah.
If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, that is plain.
That is plain.
And
it's painfully plain.
I don't know that this is the thing I think about preaching this is people are asleep to it.
Yeah.
I mean, we read that with no impact.
No, it's true.
We've seen it before.
Yeah.
But that is a devastating word.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And I think again, it's this inner life that, what do they say, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting it to kill the other person.
You know, a good word. Mm-hmm.
It cuts to the very core of one's identity.
It does. And in that regard, this is in a sense like a lot of the law of the universe in which we live, that it isn't a matter simply of God sending judgment on us. The universe is built this way. Yeah. And if we don't forgive other people, we destroy the power of forgiveness. And thus we make it inaccessible to ourselves because we have destroyed it. We have declared forgiveness invalid. So no wonder we can't get it.
We can't get it. Chesterton, he says, the first time you read the Sermon on the Mount, you feel like it turns the world upside down, but the more you read it, you realize the more it's turning the world right side up.
Yeah, right.
And Stanley Jones is very much about, he's talking about how the universe works.
True.
How it really works, what is real reality, and forgiveness is a huge part of that. So, it takes you back over here to be perfect. it's a matter of love.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of behavior.
No.
At one level.
No. The behavior comes out of the inner thing.
The symptom. Mm-hmm.
Make sure you join us again soon as Dr. Ellsworth Callis continues his audio commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. This audio has been brought to you by AsburySeedbed.com, the new resourcing network from Asbury Theological Seminary, launching in January 2012. Thank you for listening.